Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello! Welcome to Science Faction 466. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. Today's episode is taped today, Sunday, July 26th, 2020. The numbers are as follows. Infected worldwide, 16.4 million. Worldwide deaths, 651,000. U.S. infected, 4.3 million. U.S. deaths, 150,000. Again, same caveats that those aren't accurate because of recording errors and testing errors and the whole nine yards. There are probably many more infected and many more dead as well. All right, on to the week's corona news. Article number one, dogs and cats seem to be catching corona. A very interesting article came out that talked about pets and their ability to catch corona. We've talked before about certain pets who have been tested and they came up positive. This was dogs, cats, even some big cats at zoos and like animals like that. Some of them show a little bit of symptoms, kind of like tiger coughing, or I think like one lion wasn't wearing a mask when it was out on the savannah and the other lions like yelled at it and things became violent. So there's some shit going down. Animals can catch it. They don't seem to be able to transmit it between one another, and we're not sure yet whether or not they can transmit it to people, but it seems like if they're stuck in the house quarantined with you while you're coughing your ass off, they can get sick too. An interesting paper came out in Nature that indicates that 3-5% of Italian cats and dogs show antibodies to corona, indicating that the infection rates may mirror human ones. We're still not 100% sure on this, a small sample size, and we need to test a more wide variety of areas, but really interesting because there's not been that much work done into non-human animals and corona, and seeing these infection rates in the animal populations may mean that at some point, just like a mutation happened that allowed corona to become highly infectious among people, it might become highly infectious among animals. That may be a real thing. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. It'll be interesting to see if suddenly there's a corona pandemic of dogs and cats at some point in the near future. As for now, we can't really tell that they're transmitting them, but this may end up being a vector in the future. It might be that this could have been a vector the whole time. It might be that dogs and cats actually can transmit it to humans. So it's something you should think about. So I'll tell you right now, even though I quarantine well, even though we do all that stuff, I go out with my family to do stuff where we can be really far away from people, and one of the things we do is go to the dog park. And you know, if my dog's running around jumping on other dogs that happen to have corona, maybe I get sick too. Who knows? Not yet the place that we can say that yet, but it is interesting to see just how many of them displayed antibodies. All right, article number two. It looks like COVID sticks around in young, healthy people way longer than we thought. So a new report came out by the CDC this week that indicates that about one quarter of normal, healthy young adults without pre-existing conditions are still experiencing significant symptoms after 3 weeks. That is a real big deal, because even the worst flus that come through, 90% of all people are done with their symptoms completely within 2 weeks. So this would be worse than a really bad flu, and we're talking about young, healthy people. These are the people who are not supposed to be badly affected by corona. As a matter of fact, what they found more specifically was that people between the ages of 18 to 34 years old who caught the disease, one quarter were still recovering 2 to 3 weeks later. That number rose to 1 in 3 for those between 35 and 49, and nearly 1 in 2 for those 50 and older. I don't think we're going to be as surprised about some of those older people things, but it is surprising to see how badly this is affecting young people. We were told, no pre-existing condition, not a big deal for you. 25% of people without a pre-existing condition, it's a pretty big deal for. So that's really interesting. But it's not all bad news. An article came out this week that was actually really good news about one of the qualities or symptoms of corona we've talked a lot about, the loss of smell and taste. So we've talked about this for quite a few months now, about how corona has been known to take away smell and taste in people. However, people seem to get it back in a few weeks. So this was really scary because, as we covered in a previous episode, that indicates there might be an infection of the actual neurons in the olfactory bulbs of the nose, which is the brain. It's the part of the brain that is essentially sensing stuff from your nose and telling the rest of the brain. And in previous coronaviruses, including SARS-CoV-1, we saw that infections in mice led to infections of those neurons, and then it proceeded to other parts of the brain, including the brainstem, and attacked places that did things like regulation of the heart, which is terrifying, because that means that if it could get into your brain, it really messed stuff up and caused long-term damage, even in those that survived. So when we first started seeing all this stuff of loss of smell and taste, we immediately assumed that's what's going on. It's infecting the olfactory neurons in the brain. Shoot, this is really, really bad, just like the other coronaviruses. A really surprising paper and fantastic paper came out this week that says, no, actually, that's not what's happening. was that olfactory sensory neurons do not express the gene that encodes the ACE2 receptor, which SARS-CoV-2 needs to kind of bind to the actual cell. Instead, the ACE2 is expressed in cells that provide metabolic and structural support to olfactory sensory neurons. Basically, it is attacking those supply lines of the olfactory bulb, not the olfactory bulb itself, which is a huge difference because that means it is not infecting your brain. That means we don't have to worry about getting to your brainstem or affecting your memory or fucking you up in some other way. This is great news. This is some of the best COVID news that's come out in the last few weeks. I wish it was more publicized. When I first read this, I literally said, like, woohoo, because it's fucking fantastic. It means that if you catch it, you are, at least as far as we know, not necessarily at risk of getting a neurological infection, which is a very different thing from a respiratory infection. What amazing news. Who would have called it? Who would have called that the exact same symptom from SARS-CoV-1 that's an indication of a brain infection in the olfactory neurons would not be an indication of the olfactory neurons in SARS-CoV-2, but it causes the exact same symptom, which is loss of smell and taste. That is super surprising, incredibly cool, and fantastically good news. Lastly, two nice little puff pieces that are related to coronavirus. The first being that a synthesized hybrid of the coronavirus was created recently that'll allow a bunch of other labs to jump in on the process of helping out. Right now, you can only really handle SARS-CoV-2 if you are in a very high-level lab that has the appropriate ability to handle stuff like that safely, and we do not let a whole bunch of it out. But researchers in Washington State are now producing a hybrid version of the disease that is not going to infect people, not hurt them, not kill them, and not be nearly as dangerous, but still functions in the same way so that researchers can use them in lower level labs, lower security labs, to try and do a whole bunch more work. This would multiply the amount of places that can actually do COVID work, not by two, but like by a factorial. So this is a big deal in terms of spreading the ability to do work around. Now, to be perfectly honest, this is not what's going to help solve this most likely, because the work that will end up helping to solve this would have needed to start 6 months ago. And so this coming out is probably not going to be the origins of the vaccine story of this disease. That work has literally already been done and is in the process of continuing to be done. This will most likely help us in terms of after effects, maybe medicines, treatment options, studies on viral spread, stuff like that. Again, this won't be the origin story of your vaccine, but it is still a really neat tool that is going to be used to allow us to greatly multiply our ability to investigate this virus. And lastly, you've probably seen this around on some of the news sites. Very interesting figure. Apparently, human seismic activity is down 50% over the lockdown, meaning just us doing our normal things, driving cars, running around, slamming doors, being assholes, just being people, walking upstairs and jumping down steps and all that stuff. We cause a lot of vibration in the earth. We can actually pick that up. We can measure that. And over this lockdown, that earth movement has gone down 50%. It's interesting to see how a little thing like a virus can affect the world so drastically, but it certainly has. All right, thank you so much for joining me for Science Faction 466, where you learned all about how pets are catching corona, how COVID can stick around in young, healthy people for weeks, why we have really good news about the smell loss associated with COVID-19, how a new synthesized hybrid virus is going to help us in the fight against COVID, and how human seismic activity is down 50% over the lockdown. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 467.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.